Chapter 19, we'll begin our reading this morning in verse number 1, Luke chapter 19, and we'll begin our reading in verse 1. It's a familiar story that we have before us in the 19th chapter of the book of Luke. The Bible says in verse 1, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with the man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, forasmuch as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Let's pray together if we could. Lord, we're thankful for your wonderful blessings that you've given to us. We're grateful for your word and for the instruction that we have. And Lord, as we look at this passage of Scripture, I pray, Lord, that you would direct our thoughts. I pray, Lord, that you would direct our actions, that we would make good decisions based upon the faith that we have in your word this morning. And I pray that you'd be glorified, and may your word be glorified in us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As we open our Bibles to Luke chapter 19, the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus is well underway. And Jesus is traveling to Jerusalem with his disciples. And in the 18th chapter of the book of Luke, he describes to his disciples what would happen in Jerusalem. Let me read it for you, Luke 18, verse 31. "And he took unto them the 12 and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and spitefully entreated, and spitted on. And they shall scourge him and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. And they understood none of these things, and this saying was hid for them, neither knew they the things which were spoken." The reality is, some thought that Jesus was going to Jerusalem so that he would free the people from Roman bondage and that he would establish an earthly kingdom. Others followed Jesus because they were looking for another miracle for Jesus to perform. And yet the focus of the Gospel of Luke is Jesus as the Son of Man. And in the context of this passage of Scripture, as we see Jesus meeting Zacchaeus, there's this wonderful declaration in Acts chapter 19 that we cannot miss that really reveals for us the wonderful heart of a loving God. And this passage of Scripture is the difference that Jesus makes in an individual's life. It's the seeking Christ for the lost we find in the Scripture, his heart of compassion and his desire that individuals would come to him for eternal life. And so we're going to look at this passage of Scripture, and we're going to look at Zacchaeus and his life and what it all represents. First of all, if you're taking notes with me this morning, would you write down number one, his story. His story. Now, the name Zacchaeus means righteous one. And the Bible tells us that Zacchaeus was chief among the publicans. In other words, he was the supervisor of the publicans in Jericho. He was the man in charge when it came to the publicans. And yet the Bible teaches us that Zacchaeus was not a righteous man at all. I heard the story of Christopher Columbus as he made his voyage west in 1492, that he kept two logbooks, one of which contained falsified information. He wanted his men to believe that they were closer to land than they really were. Apparently, Columbus felt that the morale of the crew was more important than the integrity of the captain. And as we look at Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus did not live up to his name. A couple of thoughts we see about Zacchaeus in this passage of Scripture. First of all, I want us to think about this from an earthly standpoint. Zacchaeus was successful. Look what the Bible says in verse 2. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans. And notice this small expression, and he was rich. He was rich. The Bible says that Zacchaeus was a rich man. Now, think about this for just a moment and think about Luke chapter 18 and the teaching that Jesus gives about a rich man. All right, listen to this. Luke chapter 18, verse 25. The Bible says, "For it is easier for a camel to go through the needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." Now, listen, the Bible also says that with God, all things are possible. All right, God makes the difference in someone's life. But the wealthy depend on their wealth and not God. Prosperity and material gain can also be a great hindrance in the life of an individual's life. I mean, how many times does God warn his own people that prosperity and riches can lead us away or cause us to forget about the Lord? And by the way, I want to say this, that I believe in North America and Canada today, we are indeed the rich in the Bible. I mean, the poorest of person in Canada is richer than 90% of the world's population. We are the rich that the Bible is talking about. And so the Bible says that he was a successful man from the world standards. He was a successful man, I mean, as far as material gain is concerned. And yet those in Jericho did not like Zacchaeus. He was not a righteous man. He was a wealthy man, but he was not a righteous man. And they hated him because of his wealth. Not only did he work for the Romans, but also he stole money from his own people. Now think about this. He was successful, but the Bible also says that he was a sinner. You see, Zacchaeus, and I'm just going to say it very plainly this morning, Zacchaeus was a thief. He was a thief. You know, when people live their life for the success of the world or prosperity, and that becomes their goal, as, you know, the Apostle Paul says, they that will be rich. When that becomes the desire and the goal of an individual, they don't care how they reach their goal. They don't care how they become successful. They are consumed about being successful. The Bible says in Proverbs 28, verse 6, "Better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness than he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich." Now think about this. How did Zacchaeus become rich? Well, here's what the Bible says. He was a tax collector, and he would appoint or he would demand more than what was required of the people, and he would keep the excess. In other words, if you owed 50% on your taxes, then he would charge 80% and he would keep the excess amount. And this is how Zacchaeus became rich. And this was a problem with the publicans all throughout the Bible. In fact, Luke chapter 3, verse 12, the Bible says, "Then came also publicans to be baptized and said unto him, 'Master, what shall we do?' And Jesus said this in verse 13, and he said unto them, exact no more than that which is appointed to you. And the word there, exact, means to demand. And so what he's saying is, whatever someone's taxes are, that's what you demand of someone. You don't add, you don't steal, you don't become a thief. And Zacchaeus was despised by the Jews. But as we read this passage of Scripture, he was loved by Jesus. He was loved by Jesus. And though Zacchaeus was a wealthy man and he had much material gain, we know also that Zacchaeus was spiritually bankrupt. Spiritually bankrupt. And I want to remind us this morning that we are all sinners. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so Zacchaeus was a successful man. He was a sinner, but also we notice he was a seeker. The Bible says that Zacchaeus had heard about Jesus. And I'm not sure how he heard. The Bible doesn't tell us how he heard about Jesus, but he did. Maybe he was told about Jesus from Levi. Levi was also a publican, and in Luke chapter 5, we see Levi coming to the Lord Jesus. Maybe someone told him about the miracles of Jesus. Maybe someone told him about Jesus' claims, that he claimed to be God. He claimed to be the Messiah. And so the Bible says in Luke 19 and verse 3, and he sought to see Jesus who he was. He's seeking the Lord. He wants to know more about the Lord Jesus. The Bible says, and could not for the press because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And so the Bible says that Zacchaeus was a short man. We're not going to hold that against him. He was a short man, and he wanted to see Jesus. He wanted maybe to see one of his miracles, and that he would believe, that he would be convinced in his heart that Jesus was the Messiah, that he was the Son of God. And so the Bible says there were so many people that were following Jesus that day, and because Zacchaeus was a short man, he couldn't see Jesus. And so he had this idea. He was going to run ahead before the people, before the multitude, before the crowd, and he was going to climb a tree, and he was going to look out and see Jesus, and maybe he could get a glimpse of one of his miracles. There's no doubt about it. Zacchaeus was seeking the Lord. I don't know where you are today in your life. I don't know how you got to this place this morning where you're sitting in a service here at Kitchener Baptist Church. Maybe you're going through a crisis in your life. Maybe you're looking for answers to the big questions of life, right? Where do we come from? Where do we go after we die? Maybe you've been in and out of church your whole life, but you've never come to the place of faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here this morning because you want to learn more about who Jesus is. Listen, Zacchaeus was seeking Jesus, and the Spirit of God was working in his life. You know, as the Lord Jesus performed various miracles, those miracles were to prove that Jesus was who he claimed that he was, that he was the Messiah, that he was God. In fact, the Gospel of John says that they were signs, and he lists seven specific miracles, and those miracles were to help us to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he is indeed the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And so when we look at the story of Zacchaeus, we see a man, we see his story, we see his success, we see he was a sinner, we see that he was seeking. But notice not only his story, notice his salvation in verse number 5 now. Look what the Bible says. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. This is an incredible story. I mean, here's Zacchaeus. He's running ahead of the crowd. He's climbing a sycamore tree. He's looking for Jesus, hope that he could see a miracle. And Jesus walks up to that exact tree. He looks up that tree. He calls him by name, Zacchaeus, I'm going to your house today. And that was enough in the heart of Zacchaeus to believe that Jesus was God. That was enough in the heart of Zacchaeus to believe that Jesus truly was the Son of God. We see in this passage of Scripture his trust. Zacchaeus puts his trust in the Lord Jesus. Look what the Bible says. We'll jump down to verse 9 in chapter 19, verse 9. And Jesus said unto him, "This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham." I want us to notice that expression this morning, a son of Abraham. What does it mean? It's important for the story of Zacchaeus. It's speaking here that Zacchaeus put his faith in Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to give you a couple scriptures here to prove this very fact. Would you turn with me to Romans chapter 4 in your Bible? Romans chapter 4, would you turn there? And notice with me in verse number 12 together. Romans chapter 4 and verse number 12. And notice what the scripture is saying here. Now, in Romans chapter 4, there's this great debate, right? And the Jews are using Abraham to try to prove that salvation is not only by Christ, it's also by works. It's by keeping the law. And so the Apostle Paul here writes this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in Romans 4, verse 12. He says, "And the father of circumcision to them who are not of circumcision, the circumcision only, but who walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised." Now, the context of Romans chapter 4 is Paul is confirming the fact that works did not save Abraham. In fact, he was declared righteous before he was circumcised. That's the point of this passage of Scripture, that Abraham was saved by faith, believing in the promise of God that by his seed the world would be blessed. That's the promise of the Messiah. And he believed this. He believed that Jesus would send a Savior. He believed, that God would send his Son, a Savior, the Messiah. And he believed this, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. And so he believed by faith. And so the Bible says in Galatians 3, now turn there if you would, Galatians 3 and verse number 7. And notice how the Apostle Paul pulls us all together here as children of Abraham, as those who come by faith, as those who trust Christ by faith. Galatians 3, verse 7, the Bible says, "Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham." And so when Jesus is saying here, "You are the son of Abraham," he is saying, "Zacchaeus, you are a man of faith, like your father Abraham, that you have come to me in faith, a saving faith, and you have trusted in me for your salvation." Romans 4, verse 16 says, "Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law or the Jews, but to that also which is of faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all." So everyone that comes by faith and trusts Christ, they follow the same pathway as Abraham. And Zacchaeus followed that pathway. The Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." And so he believed that Jesus was the Savior. He put his faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. And then we notice his transformation here. We notice that this faith changed the way that he looked at his sin. That this faith in Christ changed the way that he looked at his life. And the Bible says in verse 8, "And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." That moment when Jesus came and sought Zacchaeus, his life would never be the same. It would never be the same. Under the Mosaic law, if a thief voluntarily confessed his crime, he was to restore what he took and one-fifth add one-fifth to it and bring a trespass offering to the Lord. in Leviticus chapter 6. If he stole something, he could not restore. He had to repay fourfold. Exodus chapter 22. And if he was caught with the goods, he had to repay double. Exodus chapter 22 and verse 4. Zacchaeus didn't argue over the terms of the law, but he paid the highest price. And it really shows us the evidence of his changed heart. In that very moment, he said, Lord, listen, if I have offended, if I have ripped anyone off, if I have stolen from anyone, I will repay. We see his triumph in verse number 6. And he made haste and came down and received him, speaking of Jesus, joyfully. We notice here the joy that is present in Zacchaeus, in his heart. You know, joy is actually the subject or one of the key themes in the book of Luke. It appears over 20 times in various subjects. And the presence of Jesus was joy in the life and in the heart of Zacchaeus. He received him joyfully. He received the message joyfully. It's a wonderful story. Thirdly, let's notice this, his Savior. His Savior. The entire narrative is just a wonderful revelation of the heart of Christ. And as we think about the story of Zacchaeus, we are really focusing on the heart of the Savior. And we notice, first of all, here his critics. You know, it all wasn't wonderful, right? There were those who didn't like what they saw. In verse number 7, look what the Bible says. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. You know, here are these religious people, these so-called, I use it in quotations, you know, righteous people. And they said, I don't get it. Why is Jesus spending time with sinners? Why doesn't he spend time with the righteous ones? Well, why doesn't he spend time with the good ones? The reality is that those critics needed Christ too. They needed Christ too. To trust in our works or our behavior is really the same idea of trusting in your wealth. I think that riches is a stumbling block to receiving Christ, but listen, religion is also a stumbling block in receiving Christ. It's a false security that does not lead us to God. Jesus is the answer, a true relationship with God through the merits of Christ and Christ alone. And so we notice not only his critics, but we notice his character, the Lord Jesus. In verse 9, he says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And he really reveals the very heart of the Savior. The purpose of coming to this earth is to seek and to save. I want us to notice the words of the Lord Jesus to those who murmured when Levi came to him in Luke chapter 5, verse 27. Would you listen as I read? The Bible says, and after these things he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of customs. And he said unto him, follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his house. This is Luke 5, verse 29. And there was a great company of publicans and others that sat down with them. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus answered and said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. The revelation in this passage of Scripture is the very heart of God, that God has come to save sinners. And yeah, I understand from an earthly perspective, we see good and we see bad, but the reality is we are good sinners and bad sinners, but at the end of the day, we're all sinners. And we're all the reason why Jesus came and died on the cross. We are the reason that he died. The message of the gospel is for sinners. Can you imagine saying to a doctor, hey, why are you always hanging around sick people? Why don't you come and hang around healthy people for a while? I mean, that's what they were saying to Jesus. And Jesus is saying, no, the reason why I came is for sinners. The heart of Christ is for sinners. Someone said, I don't understand how a God so divine could lower himself to a life such as mine and consider me worth every minute of time to rescue a sinner like me. To rescue a sinner like me, Lord. To rescue a sinner like me. He abandoned his throne and his kingdom above to rescue a sinner like me, like you. It's why Jesus came, to seek and to save that which is lost. But I want to give you one last point here, and that's his charge. Because the story doesn't end with the story of Zacchaeus. He continues on with a parable. In verse 11, the Bible says, "And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh unto Jerusalem, because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear." And so Jesus is going to explain a stewardship here. A physical kingdom, the millennial reign, would come later. A spiritual kingdom they were now a part of if they believed in Christ as the Messiah and put their faith and trust in the Lord. And those who were a part of his kingdom would have to share in the same heart that Jesus had. They would have to have the same heart. And so he explains this stewardship in verse number 19. "And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come." And that's where we are today. We are occupying till he comes again. And we have to be busy with our Savior's business, giving the gospel to lost sinners, telling others about Jesus. There's not a sinner that you can meet in your day-to-day activity that doesn't need Christ as their Savior. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And we want to be faithful servants, as in this parable. We want the Lord to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And so we must invest in eternity. And we have a wonderful opportunity to do that in our day-to-day activities. Grab some gospel tracts and take the opportunities that God gives you to invite someone to Christ. Invest in missions that we can send a substitute to Belize and to help our church to financially support the Dinsmores so that they can go on our behalf and preach the gospel of Christ to a lost and dying world. We want to be faithful in what God has given to us. And he's given to us the greatest message that could ever be told. It's the heart of God. He came to save sinners. What did Paul say? He said that the Lord Jesus died for sinners, of whom I am chief. God help us to have that attitude when we talk to people. Just one beggar giving another beggar a piece of bread. That's what the gospel is. God help us to be faithful. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for your word. And I'm grateful for the